Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From the glow of St. Paul's number one, welcome to another edition of Cabin Country. Give us the time and we'll take you out of the traffic.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Away from the levee, let's find the place where the loons call out among the moonlit waves, where the wind sighs among the Norway pines. Pull up a dock chair, have a sip of your coffee, and get a line in the water. This is Cabin Country. Now here's Bjorn Lloydsted, and I'm Fudd Klugman, with another woodland escape.
All right, welcome back to another episode here of the Cabin Country Podcast. I remain Bjorn Lloydsted, and of course I'm joined by Fudd Klugman.
Hey there.
Hey, Fudd. It's good to be back with summer here and the humidity raging back in, letting us know it's summer in Cabin Country.
That's right.
The requisite rainfall that comes along with it from time to time clears it out. And, well, we had a fairly busy week last week, Fudd. Perhaps you could tell us and our listeners about...
Yes, we did. It was the June trip up to the Gull River, the first weekend of June, which, of course, is also the annual Donovan Bassmaster Classic.
Syncs right up with the Bassmaster.
We got to leave nice and early on a Friday and head up in relatively light traffic.
True.
And enjoy our few days up at the Gull River. We also brought a new member of the Cabin Country Podcast.
Third wheel, if you will.
Spotty.
Spotty the safety frog.
Yes, indeed.
Came along.
Perhaps some of you have seen the video, the safety, winter safety video
right.
that he put
right.
out.
Gun safety.
worked hard there. He's concerned for everybody not getting hypothermia. So that's. I think before we get into the trip, though, you know, we've reached the stage, even though comparatively speaking, in the podcast world, you know, 20 episodes isn't a lot for being at it for 2 years now. But, you know, there's a lot of factors. It takes time to get going. And
quality, not quantity.
That's right. That's We're all about quality here. Right, Don?
That's right.
Don's all about quality.
That's right. Don nodded. That's great. Thumbs up from Don.
We wanted to take a little extra effort to actually trying to reach out a little more. I mean, most podcasters are saying, hey, be sure to subscribe and tell us how you like the show. And,
absolutely.
Bjorn and I have always chosen to remain a little silent on that. But I think it's time.
It's high time.
We have a way that you can contact us, an email, which is cabincountrypod@gmail.com. It's also important to leave reviews on iTunes. It's helpful, of course, knowing that people are liking what you're doing to kind of inspire you. And
redirection, perhaps.
Keep you going. And Don's kind of showed me the, you know, the number of listeners out there and so forth. And, oh, yeah, there's more than four. I thought it was maybe just, you know, my cousin or two. And
sure.
But, no, we've got a few out there, so thank you so much.
Absolutely.
For your support. And so what we're going to do here, for those of you who are interested in writing a review, I've got 10 Cabin Country coffee mugs. When I was looking online to order some, you know, because I thought it was time to start merching.
Absolutely.
And I found a company that makes them. They didn't have a limit like, well, if you order 800, we'll give them to you for $10 a piece. Anything less than that, we're going to have to charge $17.
So I didn't have to take out a second mortgage on the house
right. So
that we could have coffee mugs. But
what's kind of cool is that this company is actually located in England.
Wow.
That's just the way it came
out. Welsh pottery. English pottery from Wales.
So anybody who cares to write a review, and then email us at cabincountrypod@gmail.com. Wait a minute. Say that again, Bjorn.
One more time, Fudd.
cabincountrypod@gmail.com.
There we go.
And then, let us know that, yeah, we wrote a review. Where's my mug? We'll send you one.
First 10.
The first 10, right. I better put a limit on that. Otherwise, we will be going broke, maybe. I'm not sure. But anyway, let's get back to our weekend trip. I did some prepping for it myself. Last year at this time, Bjorn had some luck in a bay that we found that, the bass were sort of leaping at Bjorn's...
Unbelievable.
His frog arbogast jitterbug. And unfortunately, he lost it. I think we've mentioned
it.
I did.
It was a heartbreaker. I mean...
Snapped a line and...
Inside of 5 minutes. We landed one that was, I think you estimated it at about a 2-pound bass, a good eater.
Mm-hmm. It was delicious.
And right along the edge of that bay and lots of logs and lily pads, and we just kept throwing, and 5 minutes hadn't gone by, and all of a sudden I was right back in action, and I was throwing out there, as Fudd mentioned, a kind of a vintage, 1950s, 1960s Arbogast frog jitterbug, and I remember seeing what appeared to me to be a much larger bass coming right up. It put up a good fight. I got it up to the edge of the boat, and the rod doubled over again. And all of a sudden, boom, and it just snapped back to attention.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, no. And sure enough, and within seconds, that bass was up and out of the water, shaking its head for all it was worth, trying to get rid of my frog, Arbogast Jitterbug, right. Which was firmly stuck in its lip.
Yes.
And I thought, that was my plan this year, Fudd, was I'm getting the lure back.
Right.
I'm going to catch that thing again. I have no idea what the shape of the hooks will be by this point, but I want that back.
Yes.
Sad but true.
Hopefully the bass didn't suffer too much with a pierced lip.
But that bass did elude us, as did most of the bass in the Gull River, sadly.
Yeah. We were kind of unlucky, but Spotty, we got a picture of Spotty holding his bass, don't we?
That's right. Proud eating size bass, about a 2-pound.
Let's ask Spotty. Spotty, how did what did you use to catch that? Did you get that, Bjorn?
I couldn't quite make sense Spotty's got a unique dialect that
yeah.
can be a little hard for
He's
me.
Awfully cute, but Swear, I mean, you should learn to say excuse me.
Right. It sounds a little...
But, gassy. I had my own Arbogast, I take that back. Let's mention Yogi. Going back to that episode in which we dug through Yogi's tackle box from his childhood in the 50s and 60s, and...
Amidst the mold,
we found kind of a split-bodied... Arbogast jitterbug frog colored, and I thought, well, I'm gonna be like Bjorn last year, because I didn't have one. We got Bjorn a new one for his birthday.
Yeah,
at least he didn't lose the new one. That's good, Bjorn.
No.
But anyways, I dug that one out of Yogi's box, and if any of you remember the show, we had the tip from Steve O'Hearn, that great collector of old lures and all that kind of
prices them
hunting,
out for the
fishing cabin-y stuff.
The antiquer in your life.
He suggested that you take a hair dryer, turn it on hot, and heat up the lure and scrub it with a dry toothbrush, which we did. And it did seem to come clear. Got a little
it
bit
sure
of a luster,
did.
A little shine.
Yeah, looked good.
But I think the mistake, Bjorn, was putting that thing back into the moldy tackle box.
Back into the cheese factory.
Because when
yes.
I dug it out here, you know, several months after that, it was just as moldy as it was. If not even a little more so. So I
fully croisened.
I kind of went, of course, online and YouTube and try to find out what other people did to
sure.
get mold off. So I started doing all kinds of things with this.
Tell
lure,
us about
right?
it here, Fudd. What were the steps?
Well, first, somebody recommended dishwashing soap. So I did that, scrubbed it.
Lathered it up.
Gently. And, that cleaned it up a little bit.
Sure.
But, of course, after that, it still smelled. And then I got the idea, well, there's nothing like the sun and the ultraviolet rays to kind of...
You bet.
...get rid of that kind of stuff. So I let it take a suntan out for a couple of days in the sun on my deck out here. And it seemed to help.
Kind of helped, too, right?
Yeah. The next step, the idea I had was, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to boil it. So I stuck it in a pan of boiling water... Went up and took a shower while it was on a low boil, and my wife was around so she could, you know, prevent any disasters.
Keep an eye on the lure.
Yeah. But I came back and, it looked like it was a little bloated.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it looked, I thought, oh, geez, well, I took that out.
Big frog.
Yeah, it looked a little fleshy, and I tried to tell myself that, well, you know, it looks a little more. Yeah, it looks a little overfed and fleshy. Maybe it's more succulent. So I let it sit in the sun some more, and then I realized, boy, I wasn't giving up on this. In fact, let me interject this
purist here.
Right here that I bought a three-lure set, an Arbogast three-lure set for Bjorn's birthday.
You're here.
And it came to a grand total of $9.
There you go.
And I am putting all this effort into that, but you know, it's a vintage lure, and I thought, well, what the heck, I'm gonna go for it. So the last step, which I think was what helped it the most, was I found I had all these old packets of silica gel, and I emptied them out and put them in a little tiny plastic cup, enough to completely cover the lure.
The jitterbug.
Then I put it in a Ziploc bag and let it sit for a couple of days, and yeah, that seemed to, between all those things, still had a little bloated look, but it was fine, and I took it up and cast it out. And after about three or four casts of pulling up nothing but weeds, I put it away.
Well, we learned something very valuable with that whole excursion of yours, Fudd, and that is that you can clean it up, get it even a little larger than life,
yeah.
And at the end of the day, bass just don't like the taste of bleach and silica gel.
Well, I guess so.
They've read the labels on those silica gel bags. Do not eat, and the bass...
Yes.
Followed that to a team, so...
Yes, I guess that...
Sad but true. The weeds ignored it, but...
Right. And it was weedy, no matter what we threw in. Even some of our more weedless, quote-unquote, lures would still pick up the
Almost be
weeds.
Interesting. You know, Steve O'Hearn was talking about the good old days of prime time, and the fish will almost bite on cigarette butts if you put them on a hook and throw them out. Try a silica gel packet and see what happens.
Right.
It says, do not eat. The son of a gun took it. All right, here we go. Reel it in.
What do you know?
Three-pounder. And his mouth is dry.
Yeah,
look at the dry lips on that poor
son. Can catch and preserve the fish in one fell swoop.
One fell swoop.
But
mounting ready.
We visited the Donovans during their Bassmaster Classic, and we didn't go up specifically to engage heavy-handedly in the tournament.
Cover the tournament, right. That was last year. And this
we did take the tracker, though.
Serendipitous.
And found Doug way down on the Crow Wing River.
You bet.
And something that in the old days would have taken like all day just to get down with a 5-horse power motor and a 16-foot C-made, but now with the new tracker and its bigger motor...
115.
So, yes, 115. So we enjoyed that.
No time at all.
After not catching anything,
right.
Said, well, let's just go touring.
Let's cruise the river at high speed and see what it looks like. Good stuff.
Coming up in just a moment, Bjorn takes to the field and has a conversation with Square Deal Al, who shares his expertise on road food, microbreweries, and disc golf in cabin country.
Big meat.
Big meat.
Big potato.
Big potato.
Big tornado.
Tornado.
Good for what ails you.
Hi, ay, ay, ay.
This week and this week only, a twofer tornado offer at Fiberstuff.
Big meat.
Two big meat potato tornadoes.
Tornado.
Hot off the roller grill. For only $2.99 with a regular size fountain drink. At your participating local Fiberstuff stations. Get them while they're hot. Fiberstuff. For all your gas and digestion needs.
Big meat.
Big meat.
Big potato.
Potato.
Big tornado.
Tornado.
Good for what ails
you.
This is a test of the Cabin Country broadcast system. The broadcasters of your area, in voluntary cooperation with the fishing, hunting, and cabin construction authorities, have developed this system to keep you informed in the event of an outdoors emergency. If this had been an actual emergency, an early start to the smelt run on the Knife River, record numbers of pheasant flushes near French Lake, or a sale on the triple glazed windows and pine paneling at Cross Lake Lumber. The attention signal you just heard would have been followed by official information, news, or instructions. This station, WCCN, serves the greater Cabin Country area. This concludes the test of the Cabin Country broadcast system.
Now back to Bjorn Lloydsted and Fudd Klugman in Cabin Country.
Well, Fudd, I was just thinking about the fact that the trip or trips every year, and we've covered this in past cabin countries, especially when we were young men under the age of, say, 15.
Right.
Any time spent in the car, regardless of what you'd eaten before you left, what you'd had to drink before you left as a young person, something about the car moving on the freeway or the highway, country roads, all of a sudden, what are those words that come to mind? I'm hungry, or right. I'm thirsty.
Yes.
This is ridiculous. And often as not, in my case, I could... Well, that's a lie. I was going to say I could con my dad into thinking he's hungry too, but usually he was one of those guys that just sit still, hurry up, we're going to get there, you know. I don't know if you had any more luck, Fudd, than I did as a kid.
No, it was pretty much the same.
We'll get a burger and then sit still and be quiet. Well, we always think those thoughts as, you know, we're heading up Highway 10 or whatever. And all of a sudden, the hollow spot starts to make itself known. And we think, here we are in the early phases of cabin country. We're entering in. What is there? What can we stop to get? You know, there's got to be something to eat, something to drink. It seems to be kind of part and parcel with trips in the car, with the family headed to cabin country or friends having to headed to cabin country. And the irony here is, Fudd, last year, this is a piece I did. This was the Bjorn Lloydsted inaugural launch into interviews in the field.
Uh-huh.
You were kind enough to hand off something Don had handed over to you, so a handheld digital recorder, and I thought, by gad, let's take it out in the field and talk to some of those people I know
right.
through places of work or friendship groups. What are their experiences with road food? And, you know, a good friend and colleague through my career will be referred to solely as Square Deal Al. And Square Deal Al is a guy, he and his lovely wife love to do camping trips all around cabin country, north, south, east, west. They're interested in seeing the greater Minnesota areas. And Square Deal Al is a self-professed king of road food.
Uh-huh.
King of road food. And on top of that, he's also a connoisseur of Cabin Country's microbrew houses.
Yeah.
The microbreweries that are popping up all over the place, almost like chicory plants on the side of the highway. And so if our listeners will humor me here, you're going to get an opportunity now to hear my first field interview with a digital recorder, sitting down with Squirt Eel Al, who's going to tell us about some of his favorite road food offerings, as well as not just a couple of his Cabin Country favorite microbreweries, but also as an avid disc golfer, he's going to share a couple thoughts on one of his favorite pastimes, disc golf in Cabin Country. So if
Fantastic. Fud,
and if we can give Don the nod here, maybe he can sync up my inaugural flight as a in-the-field interviewer. Here for your listening entertainment is words of wisdom from Squirt Eel Al.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new segment here on Cabin Country Podcast. I am Bjorn Lloydstad, as always, and I'm joined tonight by the Squirt Eel. Squirt Eel Al is going to be doing a short segment for us. Road food with the Squirt Eel. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. We're going to start things off a little bit. You and I go back a ways with some soccer coaching at the middle school level. A little off. But we talked at one point, you're a man who enjoys the great outdoors, the camping. Cabin Country audience can understand a love for camping in state parks. You at one point, you and your lovely bride, a camping trip to, remind me of the park.
Minneopa State Park.
And a new measure, a unit of measure, was created on this trip, the Minneopa.
Yes.
Could you give us a little insight, Squirt Eel, as to the Minneopa?
Well, we share a love of many things, and the one thing we share a love of is sinking a few missiles.
The hot dog.
It's a meal in itself.
What could be finer? And so, on that trip, a Minneopa was formed. How many dogs are we talking here, Squirt Eel? What is a Minneopa?
Well, in reality, I had a third of a Minneopa that weekend. I got a little big for my britches and told you, I think beforehand you asked me...
how many hot dogs are you going to sink to this weekend, Squirt Eel? And you said...
I'm gonna throw down about 9 hot dogs.
Good for 9 dogs. 9 dogs. And that became the standard unit of measure. The Minneopa.
Yes.
Is 9 of anything.
Yeah.
Ideally...
While camping.
At home, all bets are off.
I mean, you could have 5 Minneopas of potato chips.
Absolutely.
In the sitting.
Absolutely.
Easily.
A Minneopa of Skittles.
Yes.
Not unheard of.
Yeah.
A Minneopa of s'mores might be a bit much. You're looking for an insulin injection. Well, you've done a fair bit of camping and traveling, Squirt Eel. And a state park other than Minneopa, where might we find you and your lovely bride on the road?
I've had probably 4 or 5 that we really enjoy, but the go-to lately, and as we get a little older, we don't set up the old tent as often as we used to, but
hard on the back.
Our go-to state park is Sakata State Park down in Waterville, Minnesota.
Waterville, Minnesota. What's the draw at Sakata? What do you like?
Well, the draw for me is living in the southern suburbs of the Twin Cities.
Yes.
We like to go away from traffic.
There we go.
So we're not traveling north on those summer days.
Absolutely.
When people like to drive north, through Rogers and St. Michael, we are kind of done with that.
Headed south. So where exactly is Sakata? You said Waterville.
Waterville, yes.
And is it a camper cabin kind of thing that draws you? Is it a
we are not glampers. We set up the old tent. We do go air mattress at least.
So
we're not bones on the ground.
No, that's hard. That's hard. I had that happen once because our young son accidentally pulled out the rubber stopper for the air mattress, and we woke up.
So they do accommodate, obviously.
Spine to soil. You
they
bet.
Accommodate
okay.
for those. But
okay.
we, again, we like just a solid distance. And like I said, it's near enough places to pick up some old food, which
Absolutely.
Might be a nice little segue.
And so here we go. And, we're not taking any payola, if you will, from any of the local convenience stores or mom-and-pop shops along the road. But Squirt Eel, when you pull into a spot, maybe it's a Casey's, maybe it's a Quick Trip, maybe it's a Speedway, whatever it is, what grabs your eye? What are you looking for in road food?
Well, each convenience area does have a specialty in my eyes, but
absolutely.
If I'm gonna feature one,
yep.
I was gonna say one item, but one gas station lately. Well, let's start up with the old Holiday.
Why not?
Is it a superstore? What are they? Holiday?
You know, sure. Why not?
Superstore? No, I don't. Anyway,
did they swap out to Speedway?
That was Super America.
I see. So, okay. All right.
The Holiday store, the go-to, and this is a combo.
Combo platter.
It's all about combo.
Yep.
And I believe for roughly $6, you can throw down
six bones.
The chicken and cheddar. What do you call it? A log, basically a roller.
A roller grill.
Yeah, but this is just the straight up breaded chicken,
sure.
With cheddar,
yep.
On the inside, which they don't really carry a buffalo chicken, which I would usually go for at most convenience stores.
Right.
So I like to go with one of those, and then I like the torpedo, the pepperoni pizza.
Torpedo. Absolutely.
One of those.
Torpedo,
so tornado. Those two, or tornado.
It's tornado, yes. Yeah, fine Corinthian leather.
Pepperoni pizza tornado. So those two are kind of the mains. And then I like a little kicker. I like the side of any variety of Doritos. Yesterday I pulled off a salsa verde.
Oh my.
Dorito work.
Green sauce. So, that's got to be new. I haven't seen that. That's
and then, I like to wash it down with a cheap old Arizona.
The libation. An Arizona tea. Arnie Palmer. Little lemonade, little tea. That's not bad. So that is our
bolts, yes.
That's our go-to for this week. And there may be yet more insights to the cabin country traveler who's headed north, who's headed west, who's headed south, who's headed east. It doesn't matter where you're going.
You can find a Holiday Station store. There we go.
Amen.
Holiday Station
there
store.
There it is.
Most major highways.
I feel like we start heading south or even east, we start to see more of the quick trip kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, based on lacrosse. So.
I believe so, right.
Yeah. And
right. And they do well.
But
I like.
If I'm going Cicada, it's straight up Casey's General right in town.
There we go. So. I understand now. A fellow colleague across the hall talked up the Casey's breakfast pizza as
yes,
a road offering.
That has been done.
All right.
I'm not going to go full on rankings today of all my favorite breakfast pizzas, but.
Absolutely.
That is
absolutely
on the list.
So this time around with the square deal, we might be headed to Cicada State Park, and there's probably a pepperoni tornado, or yes, even a chicken and cheese?
Cheddar.
Chicken and cheddar sort of roller grill offering, straight up the protein packed fun, and a little cheese in the center just to keep it honest.
Keep it moist.
So moist. And then, of course, the Arnie Palmer straight from your Arizona can. Now, you are sort of the aficionado of the microbreweries. You're a home brewer in training, perhaps?
Nope.
Not quite yet?
Just the sampler. I got a bunch of friends who do that.
Happy to be the sampler.
I'm more of quality control.
Taste tester, quality control. But you are a man who enjoys a tour across the state to visit the many microbrewers.
For sure.
If you were to pick two today... Square deal. And maybe one is near Cicada.
Yeah.
Maybe one's near Cicada. Maybe you're headed west. Maybe you're going north. What's grabbing your attention on this, the 24th of September, 2019?
Well, let's head up north, up 169.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough.
And we'll make a quick stop in Anoka before we actually
make our
trek up to Garrison, Minnesota.
Home of the Tornadoes.
Or
absolutely.
Somewhere up there. But
here.
We're going to go to 10K Brewing,
10K
which is
Brewing.
In the lovely downtown Anoka.
Got some
yep.
quaintness to it. I'm led to believe. Absolutely.
And we're gonna kick it off today with a cold pressed Lunar, which is a sweet stout.
Sweet coffee stout. A little coffee in there. Some caffeine.
Yes.
Keep you alert to some extent.
Yes.
Okay.
A beautiful beer.
Smoothly delicious.
You've had this. You've enjoyed it. It's right there for you. And then another offering might be?
Well, let's go the wrong direction.
Wrong direction.
Let's even get past our state. We'll go down to Decorah, Iowa.
The mighty, mighty Luther Norse,
yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. I toured it a couple times now.
Yes.
Yes.
The well-known Toppling Goliath Brewery.
Okay, Toppling Goliath. Wow.
So I thought I'd offer one option for all those hopheads out there.
Indeed. A paler, drier.
Yes, a nice double IPA and the Supa Sumo.
Supa Sumo.
And right now, I know you really want to just slap your belly.
I'm feeling Kamala the Ugandan Giant come out of left field here, but I'll hold it in check.
So, yes.
Tell us about the Supa Sumo, Al. It's just a hoppy...
It's very hop forward, but it's very drinkable. Mm-hmm. I believe, if I remember right, it's a little hazy, but it's not... quite as citrusy as maybe some of those super hazy New England IPAs out there.
Decorah, Iowa, and Anoka, Minnesota. Yeah. And one last, I'm just going to throw this at you because a horrible pun. You are the premier Frisbee golfer.
Yes.
Here in this neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
A favorite outstate Frisbee golf course?
Ooh. You caught me on this one. The name's out there, but I believe it's in Annandale.
Annandale, Annandale.
So you head up Highway 55.
You bet.
And
Well,
as I'm working on the fly right here, you could stop at Spilled Grain Brewery.
Okay.
In Annandale as well.
Who knew?
So
square deal.
That would be right on your way to Pleasant Lake.
Pleasant Lake
golf course.
Disco.
Yes.
Is that a 9-hole?
That would be an 18-hole affair if I remember correctly.
Holy smokes! So,
or baskets, at least.
Baskets. Yes. 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 Indeed.
Yes,
18
I like
baskets.
That. Keep me on my toes, but
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, a fantastic inaugural edition of Road Food with Square Deal. Yeah. And it's not just road food. There's a lot of Cabin Country fans out there who are purveyors of the fine brewed malt beverages.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have a professional on staff who can add that inside track. And also, what goes better with a cold, frosty than throwing a few discs.
Yeah,
so,
well, whether it's a disc golf course or a beverage or
you're here. Or
a snack, I hope to have brought you a square deal.
There it is. The square deal. Thank you very much. And hopefully you'll see more of this and hear more of this next time on The Cabin Country.
Stay square, friends.
Where are the Twinkies? What's on sale?
Well, Fudd, that was good to hear from Square Deal. It had been a year. And, things get flying, and we kind of lose things in the shuffle every now and again, but we wanted to make sure we got the connoisseur, Square Deal's take on round one of road food, and round one for me of using the handheld digital out in the field, and sound quality may have suffered just a tad, but it sounded okay. And
I could hear what you were saying. That
yeah,
was good.
Yeah, and Al, of course, chimed in with some great information, and kind of interestingly enough, Fudd, you and I on our traditional trips up to the first time or the fall trip up or any of these types of things, we have our usual plan. We'll get in the car and get rolling, and then we wait with the grocery stock in until we get a little closer to the Gull River.
Right.
And we've, over the years, kind of developed kind of a tradition. You know, we've got a couple spots that are good-sized grocery sellers, in Brainerd or even Big Lake if we're feeling like we're a little behind time, maybe get that done and we're losing light or whatever. But this June with an early launch time and we thought we'd try something a little different. And we stopped in for groceries in Randall, Minnesota.
That's right, which is just off 10. And just before we turn off onto Highway 1, I believe it is, The scenic route. Yes, when you pass Little Falls, you pass through Little Falls, Minnesota, land of Lindbergh.
That's correct, Lindbergh. Charles Lindbergh Interpretive Center.
Then you come up to a junction or a highway division. You can either go straight on 371 toward Brainerd, and you'll be there in about 25 minutes, or you can stay on Highway 10, and then you get to the town of Randall, and that's kind of to me, I think of that as that sort of proverbial gateway to the Northwoods.
Jumping off point for scenic byways.
It's kind of a winding...
Country highways.
Winding country road of woods and farmland, and you see deer stands all over the place.
Wetlands, there's...
A few small lakes.
Absolutely.
Turnoffs toward a few resorts
in the fall,
here and there.
It's outstanding.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean,
usually,
if you're in a hurry, you kind of stay on 371, which isn't a bad vista either. It's
no.
Straight shot. And you do save about 10 minutes by going straight on 371.
My dad would have loved it. Yeah.
But if you just kind of want to, take sort of
see
a lonelier winding road. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very nice. But so right there in Randall, for several years now, they've had a sizable grocery store.
Right.
It's called Boone's now, if I'm not
Boone's
mistaken.
Boone's Martin,
right?
I believe, yes. Tip of the cap to Boone's. They kitted us out well for the weekend. Lots of good.
Right.
Good things to eat and drink obtained there at Boone's Market. And with having just heard from Square Deal and his love for disc golf, the kind of crazy thing, we were in their parking lot there at Boone's Market and right across kind of a little service road, a park in Randall a bingo park.
Bingo.
And it featured a, I don't know if it was 9 or 18 holes, but a Frisbee golf course right there. I mean, right across the parking lot.
Oh, cool.
From Boone's Market. So I'm going to have to give Al the heads up on that one. Head up towards Randall. And some beautiful driving on Highway 1, but you could play at least 9 or possibly 18 holes of disc golf right there in Randall.
What do you call that in Frisbee golf? It's not holes. It'd be 18 chain nets, whatever.
I've talked with Al about that. He says, oh, no, we call them holes.
Oh, okay.
It's holes. In fact, you can get a clubs and golf ball golfer or a Frisbee golf golfer, a disc golfer, very upset by referring to one or the other as, well, the real game. You know, I've watched this occur at work. Where,
oh, really?
Well, it's not Frisbee golf. I'm playing real golf here. Wait a minute. No. And yeah, you know, the hackles raise up a little bit. And both camps like to say, well, let's not sell each other short here. I like your game, but I play Frisbee golf. I like your game. It's nice. It looks like a good walk, but I got to have my bag and my cursory foul language as I drive a golf ball,
you know, right,
30 yards into the rough or into a swamp or something crazy like that. I, for one, and I know I'll speak for you here as well, Fudd, I'm not committed to either, so it doesn't really matter.
I was going to suggest that maybe we're in that category of golf, either Frisbee or club, as being a good walk spoiled.
Yes, yes.
But
yes,
We used to.
We did.
We have friends. In fact, Buck Fielding.
Yeah. Oh, we've loved to swing the sticks. And
went
boy.
With him and another avid fisher guy, Dan. He was also a... So,
a couple of rounds with Ross as well. And
right.
Let's not kid ourselves. There was some very colorful language.
Oh, yes.
As we, intermittent golfers at best...
Right.
Showed our skills or lack thereof by
indeed
driving into oak trees or.
I think when I became a dad and was mostly the stay-at-home dad, the idea of spending 3 hours out, well, for some people, I suppose it'd be a great escape.
It's I was going to say, Fudd, now hold on. I love the idea.
Right.
I just couldn't get clearance to do it because there was a lot going on.
I think for me, it's like, wait a minute, I've got 3 hours of a break. I don't want to spend it golfing. But, I should say that it was fun hanging out with Buck Fielding and the others. We're Frisbee golf. I've done it a couple of times. If you like it, you can... Find it at Bingo Park in Randall.
Randall, Minnesota, right across
the
street.
Stop for some Frisbee golf and then get stock up. Stock
get your
up
cooler
at
loaded and head to the campground.
And then hit
the
that Highway 1, winding around up till you get to Pillager. And then get on the Highway 210. And then we're just 5 miles from the entrance to West Gull Lake Road.
There you go. And not to sell Pillager short here either. I love coming into Pillager on 1 there. And crossing the Crow Wing River. And it's such a nice scenic kind of thing. And then, Fudd, you were telling me too, there was a tale from Fudd's past with your dad and the brothers. There is a train track that goes right through town.
Yes.
And tell us a little more about that.
At Randall,
Oh, this is at Randall now.
Highway 10 and in Randall, and there's a railroad tracks that you cross. And my first hunting trip with my dad, which referred to in our hunting episode back when.
Yes.
And it was just my dad and I, and it was after dark. You know, it's October, so the sun goes down
brisk.
Fairly quickly.
The heater on
cool.
in the car, you bet.
And all the way up, you know, you're kind of riding alongside the railroad track for quite a ways up,
Following Highway 10, absolutely.
Yeah, Elk River. Anyways, we'd seen that, and my dad said, oh, yeah, we'll probably pass it.
Pass that train.
No problem. But by the time we got to Randall, it was coming, and it was dark, and we could see the light, you know, the big three lights of the engine.
Yeah.
And this was a time when they didn't have the arms that blocked the road. It was just the stop sign that would kind of turn.
Yeah, all right.
And the ding, 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 the real bells, not the recorded thing. And but my dad went for it. We could see it, and oh my God, are we going to make it? And he gunned it across. But I mean, the thing was not far away. I'll just say that we were both like, oh my God. My dad was kind of cursing himself that all right, that was a little too close. We probably shouldn't have done. So that was thrilling.
Well, I know, but I've heard FUD from people. Yeah, we're both railroad fans,
yes.
Railroad buffs. Mm-hmm. You're even a model railroader yourself.
A little bit, yes.
Talking to people, I've taught kids whose parents work in railroad industry and, mm-hmm. And all that stuff where they're talking about railroad crossings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a train is at speed, it takes a train, I think, upwards of half a mile just to stop.
Oh, man, yeah.
And, you know, that accounts for so many of those. So your dad kind of flipped the coin of luck and said, we're just going to do this. And
yeah.
Thankfully, you're here to help host the show.
Right. Yes, yes. Well, I suppose there's that, you know, you've got that fight between, oh, we're going to have to wait here for a good 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
My dad's a lot more laid back now. He's yeah. like, you know.
Enjoy the train.
What's, you know, just
watch
your
it,
time.
Enjoy it.
Exactly. We like it anyways.
The whistle. Oh,
the,
yeah.
The sound of it. And in fact, of course, it was the Donovan Bassmaster Classic last year when we covered that in our episode that we referred to that line that crosses the Gull River on 210.
You bet.
And that's why I've always had that great association with the sound of the train whistle or horn.
Oh, man, from your dad's place there, your place yeah. there on the Gull, boy, to hear that, it's just far enough away that it's yeah. kind of haunting.
Yeah.
Melancholy.
Doesn't make the cabin shake like it did
no.
the shack there
yeah,
on the
Yeah, the
point.
Shack, they're feeling it, but
Stone
we just
throw.
Hear it, and it sounds like so many Red Sovine songs or something.
Yeah.
So many Johnny Cash ballads. I don't know.
You were mentioning the Pillager then. Like, so after you take Highway 1 for like 25 minutes or so. And
sure.
I don't know what it is. It's 18 miles or so. Then you get into Pillager and you have to slow way down to 30.
Yep.
And then you cross that bridge, cross the Crow Wing River. And I did mention this as well, that back in the day, and
yeah.
In the 1970s, it was sure. like an iron cross bridge or something, but it was in rough shape. I say iron, but I remember it was kind of a rickety thing.
Okay.
You know, wooden or something, but crossing that river has always been part of the, well,
yeah.
we're here, you know, we've made it to cabin country.
Groom, 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 groom. We got to cross the bridge.
Yes.
In one piece.
We're
and
safe.
Now we're, yeah.
We passed the train. We got. We didn't get hit by the train.
Yeah.
And we've passed the bridge over the Crow Wing, and now we jump on 210 back into the find our cabin. So
let's go shoot some fowl.
Right. But, yes, a good road trip. Well,
thinking of waterfowl, thinking of deer in the autumn, makes me start to think of Schmidt Scenic.
The Schmidt Scenic. It's been a long time.
It has. It
since
has.
We've
well,
done...
We're long overdue. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll stay with us just a little bit longer, we've got yet one more walk down memory lane with FUD and Bjorn and the Schmidt Scenic Collection.
Right after this.
Attention outdoor and active types in cabin country. We proudly present CC30, the cabin country workout brought to you by the Cabin Country Podcast in cooperation with Timberwolf Gyms. C90, C60, with the Cabin Country Workout, you'll only need 30 minutes.
Let's go! Start your workout by limbering up your back with the CC30 Fishing Boat Bailout. All of our Timberwolf Gyms boast your choice of 12, 16, or 18-foot fishing boats, each holding a full 3 days' worth of rain. Your choice of coffee can or modified plastic milk jug bailing device. Empty that craft and move on.
Squat poles? Who does that anymore? Timberwolf Gyms offer you the outboard start. Choose from a lineup of 5, 9, 25, and 40 horse vintage outboards, all of which await your best efforts to get them started. Some are flooded, others are just plain old. Pull with everything you've got. Once you've got that up and running,
it's the Chainsaw Challenge. You've heard of lat flies? Here's the big daddy of lat flies. Similar to the outboard start, but with a different stance and angle to really work those triceps, lats, back, and neck muscles. If the chainsaws are all in use, you'll get a similar workout with the Cabin Country Old Lawn Mower Pull. You'll pull until your arms ache and never get these saws or mowers started. Aggressive, intense, some say almost impossible.
And if it's straight up core, upper body, and arm strength training you're looking for, head out behind each of our Timberwolf gyms and choose your axe or maul. It's stump clearing or log splitting time. You're not done until you've stacked one full cord. This is the workout where the tires hit the pavement or the boots hit the trail. The CC30 workout, the toughest workout you'll ever love.
Glad to see you're still with us. Let's get back to Bjorn Fudd in Cabin Country. Something we haven't visited for quite a while here on Cabin Country, and I think we've been asked by a few of those hundreds of thousands of callers.
That's right.
Who've called in, Don.
Well, I've been...
And it's been good to get those to us, and they've said, what about the Schmidt Scenics? Where
it
are you
has
at?
Been a while. Where
it's been a while. How about a Schmidt Scenic Collection edition, the launch of the boat and the cabin is open edition of the Schmidt Scenic Collection? So I think one thing we've got to do here, Fudd, is dig deep into the collection. And as the captain of a newly launched vessel, I think it is your draw here, sir. Grab one, fish around in the collection of mighty Schmidt cans.
Here I am, I'm juggling them.
Not mistaking the fine artwork of Les Kuba.
Yes, indeed.
And what does Fudd come up with on this?
I thought we had been through most of them, but
lo and behold,
still quite a bit.
There's still plenty.
What have we? Okay, all right, I'm closing my eyes here.
There it is.
Drawing the...
And it's...
It's the doe and two fawns looking down a river and seeing a riverboat.
A riverboat. Proud riverboat coming up the Mississippi, coming up the Minnesota.
You know, I'm wondering, can you... Look up there. That's not...
Let me have a look.
Supposed to be Fort Snelling. Is it up there?
That might be Fort Snelling. I think it is.
It's reminding me of the other old paintings of Mendota, Minnesota.
Right.
Where the fort is up top there, and there's always a riverboat going by.
And in the distance, the steadily growing capital
of
St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hey.
Or at least that's the artistic license we're going to run with tonight, Fudd.
Oh, okay.
It sure looks like it. That to me looks like the juncture of the two rivers. The headwaters. No, not headwaters.
Oh, yes.
Somebody
well,
give me a cup of coffee.
Of the Minnesota River.
Well, the Minnesota joining the Mississippi.
Right.
Right there at the fort in the background, the burgeoning city under the watchful gaze of Fort Snelling in the proud old days of the paddle wheel steamboat. Coming up the river, the couple of deer, well, a deer and two fawns, watching it all happen. Do you have a past history with Steamboat Minnesota, Fudd?
No, I mean, I've been on some of the remodeled or newer makes of steamboats.
The rebuilds?
On the St. Croix. In a past life, I put my video... cinematography toward wedding videography for a while.
And oh, yes.
There were many a trip on one of those paddle boats.
Right.
And guests coming in and grabbing a beer. I don't know if they were Schmidt, but with the history of that, of the area, you know, it's Mendota, Minnesota, which is actually based on the word bidote, which is the conjunction of the Minnesota and Mississippi rivers, and it's an important spot to the Dakota people, and of course that's where they built the Fort Snelling military
installation
lookout there, the
fort.
And so there's a lot of history. But Les Kuba, you know, he was from Hutchinson, Minnesota.
I did not know that.
And he designed a sculpture of Chief Little Crow.
How about that?
Who was a very important figure during the Dakota War in 1862, Little Crow led that.
Right.
Led his warriors on that. And it's a complicated history. I've been involved with it for many years now. But we'll just keep it on the Les Kuba interpretation of things. There's a newer sculpture of Little Crow in downtown Hutchinson.
Okay.
It's kind of overlooking. He's kind of got his eyes or his hand shading his eyes as he looks out across the Minnesota River in that part. So that's kind of the connection there. Artist Les Kuba, born in Hutchinson, Minnesota, which was the place where Little Crow was eventually killed, like a year after the outbreak. So, yeah, there's a lot. I guess there's a lot on this can. Holy cows. We could devote a whole series just on
entire history lesson.
The meaning of that, you know, the old river boats. And I'm even told to weave in a little bit more history, and, of course, with river boats, is that Henry David Thoreau himself, when he took a trip out here to...
Walden Pond.
Yes, the well-known author of Walden. He took a trip and was on a riverboat himself on the Mississippi River and passed through St. Paul.
Sure.
And I think was even told about Little Crow as being one of the prominent chiefs at the time. And I think he even overheard a speech Little Crow had made, according to my...
my historian friend, Mark, he said that he was impressed with Little Crow's ability to speak. That was one of the things this chief was known for, his eloquent way of speaking.
And order.
So, yes, great order. So, yeah, we've got Henry David Thoreau visiting from out east, and maybe he's on this riverboat here that the deer are looking at.
You never know. Or perhaps the riverboat is resplendent with sixth graders on a field trip.
That's right.
I recall a couple of trips on similar paddle boats. I know, you know, Don will field any of the incoming complaint calls and or possible lawsuits, but being on both the Jonathan Paddle Ford at one point mm-hmm. and the Josiah Snelling on a different trip. And yeah, two field trips and going up river, down river on both asking teachers, is this really a steamboat, a paddle boat? I mean, look in the back. You see the paddle wheel turn? Yeah. I think I see some propellers down there, too. No, you don't. Okay. And multiple schools. I remember one trip well, Fudd, because I was standing there on the rail watching the big paddle wheel turn, and there were several schools, and all of a sudden the top of my head got really wet. And I was like, oh, what the heck just happened? That's a goob. Somebody spit on my head. And looking up top and on the second rail, a bunch of young louts from a different elementary school laughing and pointing. I'm going to run up there right now. And all my friends going. And one of the teachers saying, we won't have any brawling on the Josiah Snelling today. Kid spit on my head. I just enjoy the view. I got a wet head. Interesting times, interesting times. And let's not forget, too, a good many of the local area high schools love to have their spring dances on these paddle boats.
And yes.
I recall my lovely wife, who was on one of these during a high water time, not unlike this year where the rivers were incredibly high because of all the snow and the snow melt and the rainy, rainy, rainy spring. It was a year similar to that, and it was the year of her senior prom. They got on this paddle boat and ended up, it was sort of out of control. It couldn't handle the water, and they ended up just kind of drifting downstream much farther than they hoped to get, and they couldn't actually put to shore until almost, you know, some crazy hour of the morning, and kids were like, well, this is great, but give me a break. I kind of want to get off this thing. Just talking about, yeah, we got more than our money's worth on that one.
Wow, what an adventure.
Well, you know, whoever's running that company, that I don't know if the Minnesota Packet Boat Company or who they are, but they've got those two rebuilds, the Paddleford and the Snelling. They're well done, and they're fun to be on. It's a great view from the river, and interesting to see that particular spot, you know, the fort overlooking everything. You know exactly why they built where they built. They wanted to control both sides of the river and at the same time be, you know, kind of a gatekeeper, I guess, to the interactions between white society and First Nation society. And, you know, there's a lot that can be said about that from either direction, but an interesting place nonetheless. Not to stray from that, but getting back to Cuba for a second, if I'm not mistaken, he was the winner of a couple of duck stamp competitions throughout the state's history. I think a couple of Les Cuba paintings might have made it onto the waterfall stamp.
I think so. We're going to have to go to the website or something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Find out. I know I looked it up before, but because I do have a Les Cuba. I have two.
You've got two Cubas.
Two Cuba paintings.
My goodness.
One is like four or five bluebills.
A bluebill.
Flying in foreground.
A bluebill.
Another one here is an old hunting shack.
The old shack.
I was kind of in a...
Smoke coming out. Well, maybe not. It looks like clouds, actually. Sorry. It looks like it might be abandoned. I don't know.
Well, it's a beautiful watercolor.
It is nice.
And the billowing clouds. It's really nice.
It is nice. So, I recall a neighbor of mine who at one point bequeathed to me the multiple fishing tackle boxes that we went through.
Oh, yes, it's yes.
Steve O'Hearn and, you know, bequeathed to me a 16-gauge shotgun, a 22-long rifle, the whole bit. He was an avid hunter, fisherman, his whole life, and has all the paintings in his house. I think kind of the secondary activity in his life was correcting papers for English teachers. I take that back. Collecting wildlife art, and he and his wife talked at one point about how happy they were that they'd finally gotten, you know, an early run print of a Les Cuba painting.
Oh.
And they were big fans of the Yellow Labs, and I think It was a combo platter of waterfowl and possibly a yellow lab in the painting. Yeah. And huh. Ooh, and it's a Cuba. You know, as about a 9-year-old, I was like,
that sounds funny. It's a Cuba.
Cuba. No, really, it's a big deal. And, you know, they have moved on to the great reward, I guess, and Lord knows where all that ended up. But they did have their house was kind of a gallery of what could be, you know, waterfall stamp paintings.
Yeah.
Very, very nice. Very nice stuff. Well, we've talked a lot about deer and...
Right.
Fawns and all that good stuff. The mighty, mighty steam paddlers, the riverboat gamblers, the craziness, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. Is there much more to add here, Fudd? I don't know.
I don't think so. Like I said, it is a can loaded with all kinds of references.
And, without a doubt.
And I didn't realize that it was Fort Snelling. I guess if you're going to see a riverboat in Minnesota, it's going to be near Fort Snelling for some reason.
That's right.
All the old paintings I've seen.
Flying the waters near the fort. And I'll say just this can in general, too, for all of those who still fancy themselves somewhat beer can collectors. This is a steel can. Uh-huh. There are no 22 holes in it anywhere. It's
in good condition.
Perfectly intact, although the paint job has faded a little. And I'm not going to lie to you, Fudd, this came out of that classic trash dump out in the woods behind the old Daggett Lake cabin.
Right.
It comes from the days when you peeled off a ring tab on the top and threw it somewhere where it usually landed in the sand of a lake shore, and some kid like me running into the lake then sliced open their big toe.
Yikes.
And people decided maybe we need to stop doing that. And then much to the delight of our friend Buck Fielding, they were making sure you knew the level of alcohol in this can. They have painted strong right across the top. And Buck has always found that to be incredibly funny.
Weak.
Is that a 3-2 or is that strong? Oh, that's strong beer, Buck. Boom! So, yes. Yes, indeed. A steel can with the pull-off tab, and it is strong. I remember that's I used to find these, Fudd, out in that dump. And I could, typical 7-year-old kid, 10-year-old kid, I couldn't help myself. I'd always pick it up and... I gotta smell the can. I can still smell beer in there. Oh, man, I wonder. Oh, yeah, that's strong. Wow. You know, it might be full of, like, decomposing cottonwood leaves and mud and maybe a dead worm. But, there's still, I can smell it. Oh, that's so cool. Wow. And then packing these up in a bag and bringing them home in the back of the Pinto, and my dad just grumbling and shaking his head. You know, good. Excellent.
Are you picking up that
kid's
garbage?
Bringing more trash back home to stack up in his room.
Is there any hint of beer odor now in that?
Well, let me give it a whiff here, Fudd. No, I'm smelling an empty can. I shake it. There's not even any renegade dirt in here. It's just a clean slightly
can.
Faded can from years of sitting there in the sun, out in the woods, atop a pile of rubbish. Lord knows, you know, a little bit of wayward rust on the seam on the back, but yes, indeed, this was a proud one. I remember having these stacked in my room as a kid. My beer can collection kind of followed the wall. It was about 10 cans high, probably 75 wide.
Wow.
And it was classic elementary school kid engineering.
Oh, yeah.
If anybody came in my room looking for anything, it was like a bad, you know, comedy sketch. I'd hear somebody like, oop, there's a drawer. And every can was over.
Oh, my gosh.
God, here we go again. And not to hammer too hard on the beer can collecting of yesteryear, but some of my friends had these plastic kind of clip things.
Oh.
And it would hold like 50 cans. And you could, you know, screw it into the wall. And you just kind of press these things in and it would hold it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it was like a trophy case. And all I could ever think was, yeah, but with those aluminum cans, man, you got to press it in there to dents the sides. And then, you know, the value's gone. And what are you going to do then? Well... I'm curious as to how many people actually made their retirement money off selling their old beer can collection.
I had a very meager collection myself, and I'm trying to even remember if it... I mean, I had a couple of paper grocery bags.
Yep.
Filled with some beer cans, and I don't remember if my mom even allowed me to stack them up anywhere. I think I just had them, and I'm sure I've shared this story of the infamous steel Colt 45 that I found. It was kind of faded on one side pretty badly. My good friend across the street, Rick, He had a pretty good-sized beer can collection.
Sure, sure, he was.
And I brought over this one that I'd found. This was up at the Osakis cabin. Just okay. Found it in the ditch up there. And,
right.
Whoa, cool. And I brought it over to him, and he said, oh, you know, I've got a nicer-looking one of this. If you know, it's all the paint is look really nice. It's really sharp. It's pristine if you want to trade.
Clean, new, shiny I Colt said, 45.
And then he got it out and he showed me, oh, okay, that sounds, oh, okay, well, sure. Are you sure? Yeah, that's fine. I mean, go ahead. You can have this one. I'll take that one. So we traded. And, of course, immediately upon trading, he said, this is steel. They don't make them anymore. It's more valuable. And now you've got one that you can find anywhere. Ha! It's just like, oh, thanks,
wow,
Rick,
you're
buddy.
Good friend of
oh,
mine.
Oh, yeah. So a couple times that happened in various
bamboozled
other stories.
Bamboozled.
Yes, I was bamboozled.
Wow.
By a beer can collector,
wow.
10-year-old. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, what was your flagship beer can, Fudd? What do you remember what you had that was just like, this is it. Nobody's taking this one out of my mitts. This is the best can I've got.
Boy, that's a really good question. But the first one that pops into my head that I just thought was the prettiest,
yes,
was the Shells beer can.
Oh yeah,
which was from New Ulm, Minnesota.
Right,
but it had a real pretty, like, you know, evening sky. I don't know, just reds and
paint
blues.
Jobs were always amazing on those Shells
yeah.
cans. Kind of that late 70s, early 80s Shells cans were. There was Shells Bock that had a beautiful painting of a beer keg with a goat in front of it and like leaves and vines and a setting sun. Yeah, the beautiful,
yeah,
beautiful cans.
Sun. Yeah, there's something to the deer head on it or something that was shiny. I know it wasn't a terribly hard
valuable,
to come by,
right.
but it was one I really liked. I remember little tiny, like Olympia.
Those 7 ounces?
Yeah.
Little Oli.
Yeah. For some reason, I remember that as being like, this is cool. The next to that, I had my big Foster's,
yes.
Which was a...
Yes.
So, again, the ones I liked weren't... I didn't really know enough about what was rare. And, of course, there was my newer Colt 45. All right, well, we'll leave that one go. But how about yourself? Which... Did you have a couple that were...
Yeah, you know, I had both the aluminum and steel Little Oli.
Mm-hmm.
I had the aluminum and steel 7-ounce PBR, the Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh, yes.
I had a tiny little 7-ounce opened with a church key.
Oh.
You know, you had to open it with an actual can opener.
Wow.
Glick Stout.
Ooh.
Which is, again, locally produced, but long gone. And so,
mm-hmm.
kind of, ooh, look at that. And then I had some odd ones. I had a, on the same size as a Foster's Lager, I had something called a KB.
Mm-hmm.
It had a, it was gold, but it was that same giant size.
Yeah.
And then I had something I thought was particularly crafty. It was Robin Hood Cream Ale. And on the cover, it was a bearded Robin Hood-like character with a huge grin on his face, hoisting a wooden tankard in front of a big, you know, keg of nut brown ale. I have no idea where it came from. I have no idea if it was worth anything, but it looked cool.
Well, yeah,
and,
it's all about the artwork.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, and nobody's ever seen this before. This is the coolest thing ever, and oh my God. I don't want your full card collection of the Minnesota Twins this year for that. Forget it, I'm keeping this beer can.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And yeah, I ended up as an adult, you know, that was no longer interested in drinking or collecting anything beer. I ended up taking these all these cool cans I had and giving them to a friend of mine who is still very much active in beer drinking. Beer paraphernalia, beer lights, you name it. I was like, do you want these? Because otherwise, I think I'm being condemned to recycle them.
Yeah.
No. I'll take those. I'll put those in my bar down in the basement. It's amazing, man. I remember these days. And of course, then he and I started talking about, what was your favorite can?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, he was from southern Wisconsin, and he had all these cool kind of Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana things. And I was like, oh, man. And it's just crazy how people start talking about that particular hobby.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were ever a part of it, man, it doesn't take much to kind of get the flames flickering again. Even Buck, talking with Buck about
yeah.
his, oh God, I've actually thought I might start kind of collecting again, you know, and
yeah.
bringing back in some of these crazy old cans. Like, yeah, most of us are married at this point.
Right.
And most of our significant others are sort of like, or not, you know, probably not. Get those things out of here.
Although,
especially the ones I had that were always like, shake it. There's old dirt in here. Maybe
uh-huh.
something dead. Several exoskeletons. Ugh, you know, get that out of the house. But nothing says a mother deer and two fawns and a steamboat like beer can collecting. And we've certainly come full circle, but let's not kid ourselves. It's you know, a many splendored can here. We've got the stories of Cuba, we've got the, you know, Minnesota history itself, of that convergence of the two rivers, and the age-old practice of collecting steel cans, aluminum cans.
That's right.
Mounting them to your wall. It's powerful stuff.
Yes.
Powerful stuff. So I don't know. Perhaps, Fudd, that ends this shorter edition of the Schmidt can collection. Looks like we're
going
to guess
more.
Out of our case of 20, the easy to carry 24 can case. We've still got about six, I think, a six pack. We can cover at some point stories from the past and the condition of the can and what does it remind us of. Plenty to work with, so
looking forward to
perhaps
it.
Perhaps that's a good place to stop, Don, if you don't mind being the engineering wizard that you are. We'll take a break with this segment and then get you back to
Cabin Country proper.
Sounds good.
All right, fill your coffee, take a moment, and we'll be right back.
Sleep. Perhaps the most important thing in your life. A good night's sleep is more important than just about anything else. White noise and ambient sounds have become calming and soothing sleep producers for many people in our world. Gentle rainfall, sighing winds, the calm hum of a gas furnace. All of these sounds have value in helping you sleep. Why not find your calming ambient sounds in your favorite place, the wondrous outdoors? Drift off to dreamland while listening to the ambient sounds of the Woodland Mystic 2000. The Woodland Mystic generates such soothing sleep sounds as the bedside sleeping springer, the old TV that has reception problems, the hum of the five-horse outboard, and your friend, the old yellow chainsaw. Nothing helps you succeed in life like a steady sleep cycle, and nothing results in restful slumber like effective ambient sound. The Woodland Mystic 2000 awaits you. Drift off with it tonight.
One more word, Fudd, about Cabin Country Pod.
We have 10 coffee mugs.
10 coffee
Cabin
mugs.
Cabin Country Podcast coffee mugs.
A good-sized mug.
And they last. You can wash them in the dishwasher. They're from
color
England.
Fast.
Just because that's cool. I don't
yes.
know.
If I want one of those mugs, Fudd, what do I have to do?
Well, you have to go to iTunes and write a review on the Cabin Country Podcast.
There we go.
And then contact us at cabincountrypod@gmail.com and write us a little note saying, hey, I don't know if you've seen it, boys, but I did write a review, so can I have that mug now?
Ideally, I'm one of the first 10. Now, keep in mind, if you're number 11.
Right. Well, it is for sale. Don, what is the price on that?
I don't remember.
He's sleeping. I think he went on a break.
Oh.
At any rate, but yeah, we've got 10 of them that we're going to hand out for free.
We would love to have
10
additional Cabin Country mugs out there in the hands of people saying, hey. I listen to Cabin Country, and I like hot coffee, tea, Postum, whatever it is you're drinking out of that.
Right.
But it would look good, and if you're one of the first 10, by gad, you could have one of those mugs.
Right, right. And I hope we've done that right so we're not, going to cheat anybody out of one. But
potential lawsuit.
Right.
I didn't get my mug, you
stinker. I don't know, guys. Cut it out. I changed my mind. I don't like listening to these guys at all. Any rate. Well, thanks for hanging with us.
Yes. Kind of a lengthy hodgepodge this week, but a good show and lots of interesting material. And there are more coming.
Yes,
get ready. We're feeling our oats. It's Cabin Country summer season. We've got a lot to talk about, and we certainly will. But in the meantime,
have fun yourselves in Cabin Country.
Fun yourself. Tell us what you're doing out there. You know, cabincountrypod@gmail.com, and by all means, refill your coffee mug.
Right.
We're gonna let the cabin door slam shut here. Close out one more edition.
See you next time.
Cabin Country. See you next time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.